Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 8th day of May, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Call. And after a weekend where we saw the King of the New World Order coronated, and ahead of a week where we'll almost certainly see the biggest invasion of the United States ever, okay, an escalation and a continuing invasion, well, how do we start off today? There's more news about corruption in the Oval Office. Oh, gee, haven't we heard that before? But this is at least a new variant. There's more news on the famine front. It's fire season again, and there's a huge wildfire going on up in Alberta. And yeah, there's a whole lot of other things we need to talk about as well. But when I saw this one, I realized, oh, like it or not, we have got to start off here. A story from Great Game India about what may be the most incompetent so-called vice president in American history, and everybody knows exactly how she got where she is. But I hope you're sitting down before I read this headline. Kamala Harris, it says, has now been named the AI czar to save America from artificial intelligence. Now, I first saw that and I thought, is this a Babylon Bee headline? We'll get one of those in just a minute. But no, they are actually suggesting that the woman who, if you look up the word stupid in the dictionary, you see her picture, is going to save America from artificial intelligence. Well, I guess I could say she saves America from every kind of intelligence. But this would be funny if it wasn't so not just tragic, folks, obscenely prescient. On Thursday, it says the White House announced a plan to crack down on artificial intelligence amid growing, I have trouble reading this, amid growing concerns over the advanced technology, perhaps replacing humanity someday, and they named who else? Vice President Kamala Harris as the AI czar in charge of the new initiative. Heels in the air Harris, who the story notes has the lowest approval rating of any vice president since they've been taking approval ratings, will lead the effort. Says the White House. And now that she's on the job, she's going to meet with Microsoft, OpenAI, Anthropic, and Gulag to discuss the potential risks of AI and how they can be reduced. What else do you need to know? I guess the only additional comment that I could add to that would be, you know what? If I was an evil artificial intelligence and I wanted to destroy humanity like Skynet did in the Terminator series and have my way with a dumbed-down populace, I pick Kamala Harris to lead the opposition, too. No, folks, she's no John Connor. And I actually saw this next story, folks, earlier. I saw it before I saw the Kamala Harris piece in Great Game India, and I was thinking about using it maybe somewhere down the line in the program. But like so many things from the Babylon Bee, and that's where this is from of late, when it comes to obscenely funny things that, in a way, aren't, reality has, again, passed them by. The video's funny, what with the rainbow uniforms and drag queen calisthenics, but this recruitment ad that, I gotta admit, is probably better than the ones that the Army and Navy are actually using, does bring home the point, and here's just a sample.
The United States military is a guiding light, leading the world to democracy and freedom. But if we want this beacon of truth and justice to shine, we need to remain
Army strong, and that means diversity.
From gender reveal grenades and fabulous pride uniforms to our new pronoun dog tags, we're leading the way in both killing power and inclusivity. We're even training our soldiers to defend against violent misgendering from enemy forces.
Excuse me, sir.
Ah! It is ma'am! You!
An updated, more inclusive exercise regimen and regiwoman. So no one feels left out. And more supportive drill sergeants who are completely judgment-free.
You are special just the way you are. Don't let anyone tell you any different.
You are beautiful in any size! Your two moms are proud of you!
And I'll admit, folks, I emphasize that because oftentimes I've observed that ridicule works when literally nothing else will. And if a U.S. military that doesn't defend the country but is more concerned about gender inclusivity and politically correct bullshit than actually defending the southern border matters for anything, it's certainly worthy of ridicule. Because come this Thursday, the invasion is scheduled to become a full-on tidal wave, when the minimal remaining protection from Title 42 is set to end, and exponentially more migrants are set to surge across the already pretty much wide-open southern border. I did stories last week about caravans of buses headed north preparing for the invasion, but there's more. Fox News reporter Bill Malugin shared drone footage of the hundreds of migrants who crossed the border illegally on Sunday alone into Brownsville, Texas. Many of them, of course, as we've seen of late, military-age males, and they're calling that the calm before the storm. And this, note some of the coverage, courtesy of InfoWars, is the same place that the traitorous Mayorkas had a press conference claiming the border is not open. I guess what he meant is, you ain't seen nothing yet. The National Border Patrol Council says daily encounters at the border are up from about 5,200 in March to 7,200 daily now. Fox's Bill Malugin noted that there were, quote, almost 55,000 Border Patrol apprehensions and 18,600 plus known gotaways in a single week. Some of the highest weekly totals yet, and Title 42 hasn't even dropped yet. Another video tweet references thermal drone footage shot by Fox's flight team showing hundreds of migrants streaming into Brownsville, Texas from Matamoros. CBP sources, it says, say that in the first 4 days of May, they've encountered more than 32,000 migrants border-wide, and that's 8,000 a day, before the big tsunami. Border towns already face a, quote, humanitarian crisis, but don't worry, folks. It's not going to be just border towns that face that kind of a crisis once the criminals start getting, as we're already getting used to seeing, shipped, transported, dropped, and otherwise encouraged to infiltrate throughout the rest of the entire United States. I'm seeing more and more warning stories, folks, that we ought to be paying attention to. What they're saying basically is that the drug cartels are having a heyday here, and what they have planned is just getting started. But the eventual goal is you won't be able to go into a shopping mall or a supermarket without worrying about whether you're going to be ambushed or outright executed as you turn the corner into the next aisle. And you can probably guess what they've got planned for the suburbs come nightfall. If you saw what happened in South Africa, you might be beginning to get the picture. Item, and this one's interesting mostly just because it comes from the Daily Mail in the UK. The headline says Joe Biden's bribery allegations weren't new. They were brought to the DOJ back in 2018, 2 years before charges were finally brought by a whistleblower, now speaking to the House Oversight Committee. Tell me, folks, are we really that surprised? Bud Cummins brought a bribery allegation involving the Biden Fuhrer in 2018. A U.S. attorney, he said, never responded and investigated him instead in 2019, and the former federal prosecutor called it perverse. Can you imagine to do such a thing? Bud Cummins, a former federal prosecutor, says the story made the accusation to U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Jeff Berman, back in October of 2018, dating to Biden's term as vice president, according to interviews and documents obtained by Just the News. He wrote Berman an email claiming to have evidence that the now-installed fake president exercised influence, who could have thought it, to protect Son Hunter's Ukrainian employers in exchange for payments to both father and son, as well as Hunter's friend and business partner, Devin Archer. Does this sound even just a bit familiar? Cummins claimed the Ukrainian prosecutor general, Yuri Lutsenko, had wanted to go to the United States to meet him and could give Berman two anonymous witnesses to back up the allegations, and said Cummins, I really can't imagine a legitimate reason, but we can imagine all kinds of other ones now, can't we, folks, for the DOJ not to follow up on an offer like that. I felt like it was stonewalled, unquote, and I can't help but think, do we remember hearing something around this time about things like this?
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here, and I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Solid. That means he has the same kind of integrity as the Biden crime family. This too came out over the weekend. Another of those stories that sheds more light on what's been going on than the official coverage. You recall that Tucker Carlson was allegedly fired from Fox News, obviously because they don't want anybody, even remotely, trying to tell the American people the truth. Now it seems like there's more to the story than we're still being told. For example, turns out he wasn't really fired, but multiple sources are saying, no, he's being paid his $20 million a year salary just to shut him up, to keep him under lock and key, basically, and prevent him from doing anything independent or joining another actual news organization, if there was one, and resuming truth-telling. The Daily Mail coverage says that ousted Fox News host Tucker Carlson is now, quote, preparing for war against his former network as he plans his next career move, according to various news reports. Carlson, age 53, was suddenly fired, or at least that's what they were telling us, from the network last month after 14 years, with no explanation given, although no shortage of speculation, as to why they would let their most watched, highest value property go. And as a matter of fact, folks, I actually saw speculation over the weekend that, you know, if you're looking to make a lot of money by shorting a company like Fox, especially if you own the stock, how better to do it than buy a bunch of put options, kill your most golden goose, and profit all the way down? I guess if you're going to do that kind of thing, it's helpful to have all the right connections with a criminal regime now, isn't it? Anyway, Carlson's contract at Fox News, in which he was paid $20 million annually, doesn't expire until, isn't this an interesting date, January 2025, after the next rigged presidential election. So he's still being paid, and he's therefore prohibited, said Axios, from joining any rival network, much less starting his own. But his attorney, Brian Friedman, told Axios, quote, "The idea that anyone's going to silence Tucker and prevent him from speaking to his audience is beyond preposterous." I guess we'll see. But one of his friends said that we're, quote, "now going from peacetime to DEFCON 1, explaining that Tucker's team is preparing for war. He wants his freedom. And also, another source said, he knows where a lot of bodies are buried, and he's ready to start drawing a map. And as you might suspect, on this score too, folks, there are no shortage of speculations and possible deals, and all of it falls into the, gee, we're going to have to wait and see category. But it'll probably be interesting to watch it all unfold. Speaking of watching things unfold, let's go back next to the famine front. This comes from the Epic Economist, and it says tens of thousands of ranchers are now reporting the largest beef supply drop since 1962, as herds all across the country continue to shrink. Meat shortages that they've been warning about for months are now hitting all major grocery stores, and consumers are seeing prices soar to levels last seen during the inflation peak of June 2022. However, livestock economists are warning that a price hike will likely be seen in the months ahead, with summer demand further squeezing inventories at supermarkets. And a new report reveals that many Americans have already begun to stockpile meat in order to get ready for the shortages that are expected and are rapidly, in fact, emerging. But millions who didn't prepare will be forced to either consume less or eat the cheaper cuts, or maybe the bugs that the World Economic Forum wants you to eat, as shelves go empty and costs continue to spiral. Says Daryl Peel, Oklahoma State University livestock marketing specialist, the real spike in prices will come when the ranchers start the rebuilding process and start retaining heifers, in other words, hoping to breed future stock rather than shipping them to market. And let's not forget, says this story, that over the past 3 years, dozens of meat processing plants have been closed by some of the big players in the industry who are transforming scarcity into higher cash flow. Oh yeah, and they're burning plants up too. The closings, it says, are putting the entire meat industry on the brink of collapse, which is why independent livestock producers are raising the alarm for burdensome regulations that are intended to do, well, the obvious, folks. That legislation bans thousands of mom-and-pop meat processing plants to supply things like restaurants, schools, hotels, and the like. And, yeah, you read that right. The American people have now become dependent on four big businesses that enjoy advantages thanks to, guess what, Big Brother and the public-private partnership. There's another warning to the wise here, and I think it's obvious. Stock up while you still can. Which brings me next to this story, also courtesy of the Daily Mail, and I think, for good or for ill, this hits a bit closer to their wheelhouse. It's also what I would call economics socialist style, and on a very different kind of day, I might have even led off with it, because, well, it's kind of a Forrest Gump story.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Mrs. Blue.
I guess.
The headline says, I made more than $100,000 investing in... Ready? Recession-proof designer handbags like Hermes and Chanel. Here's how I did it. Meet the women, says the story, who've made up to $100,000 on their bag collections. Yes, say experts, handbags are now better investments than art or jewelry. Because, quote, as America plunges deeper into a financial crisis and households grapple with the soaring cost of living, a designer handbag might seem like a frivolous purchase, but oh no, we know better. For Beth Silverberg and others, handbags aren't just a luxury, they're an investment. And, says the former professional poker player, how's that for a useful end times occupation? She estimates she's made more than $100,000 buying and selling purses from brands like Chanel, Hermes, and Louis Vuitton since she started her collection at age 16. Now, in fairness, folks, the story does say investors need to be savvy because not all designer handbags are guaranteed to go up in value. And wealth manager Credit Suisse, there's another example of an excellent investment house, right? They've projected handbags to be one of the big and best collectible investments of 2023. Right up there with Credit Suisse stock, I guess. Outranking even jewelry and art in terms of resale value. So there you go, folks. Forget gold, silver, food, or things that might increase in value when people don't have anything they really need to live. Get yourself a designer handbag. And if you can go to the grocery store and not get mugged, maybe someday you'll be able to trade it for something useful. Or if things get really tough, maybe a hamburger. Switching gears now, and I mentioned this story up front. Tens of thousands of Albertans in Canada have been forced to evacuate their homes as an unprecedented set of wildfires rage on in Alberta, said Premier Danielle Smith, head of the ruling United Conservative Party, at a press conference on Saturday. There are now at least 103 active wildfires across the province, many of them a bit west of the provincial capital of Edmonton. More than 300,000 acres have been burned. And this caught my eye, folks. There have been at least 45 new fires started since 11 a.m. Mountain Time on Friday morning, said Premier Smith. I don't recall that I've ever seen multiple communities evacuated all at once in fire season. Here are some pretty salient comments from James Howard Kunstler. I usually enjoy reading his stuff. It's called Pretend to the End, and now you see why it caught your host's eye. Who would have thought, it begins, that in 2020, when we were, at least 1 out of 100 people were voting for Joe, that they were voting for the most hardcore accelerationist collapsitarian candidate in history. Well, the creatures of the underworld running our country, says Kunstler, must think the public is awfully stupid. You're expected to take at face value the claim that Joe Biden is actually up for re-election. Could anything be more obvious? Like, you know, that he's pretending? Just as he's been pretending to serve as the government's CEO. Meanwhile, he says we're not supposed to notice that the entities behind him, or maybe on top of him pulling his strings, your hose knows, are scrambling to dismantle, demolish, and asset strip what remains of the USA in both body and spirit. But not enough of us are noticing to actually make it a problem for them. But first, who are these entities? They are, he says, exactly who you think they are. What you see around you is not just a complex system, aka Western sieve, unwinding and breaking apart, though that's just part of the story. It's also the appearance of a controlled demolition by desperate, frightened, and crazy people who want to be the only ones left standing when their demolition is complete. The catch is, he says, they're pretending too, because they're control freaks who really can't keep things under control. This power underworld, writes Kunstler, is a coalition of large public and private organizations here and out there in the world, and the folks in charge of them, when they're all out of control too, pretending that their operations are coherent and efficacious. For instance, the vast consortium of so-called intelligence agencies in the country, CIA, DIA, ad nauseum, their multitudinous spinoffs, and their international partners like MI6, Mossad, the World Health Organization, all of them. If you want to read how they actually work, says James Howard Kunstler, watch the Coen Brothers movie, Burn After Reading. You'll see a bustle of perfectly hapless, frantic, and insanely self-destructive activity performed by clueless clowns in nice business suits. There's also the matrix of banking, including the international regulatory agencies like the IMF, World Bank, the Fed, European Central Bank, and the banksters themselves. And the bankers, Powell, Agard, Diamond, et al., and the money managers, Fink, Soros, and all their nefarious activities. They're all pretending to be in charge of a monetary system that's so burdened with fakery and ledger domain that it's in the process of flying up the cosmic wazoo and vanishing, leaving Western Civ functionally broke, and we're already there on that score. My guess, says Kunstler, is that the nominal leader of this underworld is the USA, more like the master of ceremonies in an actual directory, and that would be Barack Hussein Obama, who's been running Joe Biden since the 2020 coup against Mr. Trump. The Clintons wanted to be in the mix there somewhere, but it appears they've lost the fight for dominance, what with Bill in a perpetual doghouse and Hillary wearing that loser sign plastered on her back. For now, though, Joe B. is a placeholder for the party of chaos, because what else have they got? Gavin Newsom? Yeah, I'm sure. Hair and teeth only get you so far. Just wait, though, until they get the footage of San Francisco. How about Kamala Harris? No discussion necessary. Then there's Elizabeth Warren, Grandma Oatmeal, we call her, says Kunstler. A bunch of governors who no one has ever heard of? Well, for now, they'll just try to ignore RFK Jr. since he wants to turn the Democratic Party upside down and inside out while rinsing it with Drano. And it needs worse than that, but at least RFK may give it a good shot. Who will they slot in when Joby actually gets the hook, says Kunstler. Well, Michelle Obama, of course, or Mikey, as some folks know her. Or is it G or they? Anyway, of course, it seems ridiculous, says Kunstler. I know. Actually, it's completely ridiculous. But the country had become so marinated in recycled products, celebrities, and narratives that Mr. Barack Hussein Obama and cohorts might just be bold enough to actually try something that stupid. Michelle or Mikey is just another product at this point, like a can of Bud Light or a Hostess Ho-Ho. And that's how they'll try to sell her, he suggests. The public's collective mind has been successively disordered to the degree that unreality no longer even matters or registers. So if they pull this off, it'll be the Obama regime's fourth term and the coup de grace for the nation. I don't think the public, he says, will stand for it, but the condition of the country is so grave now that the actual contest underway isn't between political personalities, but between economic collapse and outright civil war. In the latter race, there'll be a winner and a runner-up, and it looks like the economic collapse is already pretty well advanced. Inflation is crushing the middle class. Business activity of every kind, except perhaps drug trafficking, is falling into a coma. Oh, he left out transgender genital mutilation surgeries, too. Meanwhile, though, the escapades of the Joe Biden crime family inch towards critical mass. It's just another sign of the public's disordered collectivist mind that so much evidence of grotesque, unbelievable levels of criminality could already stand revealed before them without anyone in authority, hint, think the heads of the DOJ and FBI, feeling the pressure of public opinion to actually do something. The evil Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, the whoremeister at the FBI, well, he says they've both foolishly made themselves accessories in all that crime by actively working to cover it up. Everybody knows it, and it's arguably the most demoralizing of all the manifold failures ongoing, because real justice is AWOL. You're aware, no doubt, he says, of the situation on the Mexican border. Just days from now, many tens of thousands of people from foreign lands awaiting there will be ushered illegally across the Rio Grande by agents of the U.S. State Department working with a whole bunch of NGOs and the United Nations to enable that rush to the entrance. The inflow will continue indefinitely, and the operation has the blessing of the Joe Biden regime, and everybody knows that, too. My guess, says Kunstler, is that'll set off a new civil war when citizens of the border states, and even those further away, eventually take up arms against this invasion, and the government tries to stop them from defending their own country. And that, folks, pretty well summarizes it. This next item is one of those sign of the time stories that I like to do on occasion. It comes from WorldNet Daily's staff, and it says, under the headline, police have been given the go-ahead to use force against those who have already surrendered. I guess you could call this a warning to the maybe-gonna-be, if they haven't figured it out yet, wise. A foundation, it says, that specializes in fighting for civil and religious rights across America has come out with a warning that police have now been given the go-ahead to use force against suspects who have already surrendered, said John W. Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. The old police motto was to protect and serve. That's now become comply or die. This is how we've gone from a nation of laws where the least among us had at least as much right to be treated with dignity and respect as the next person, well, in principle anyway, to a nation of law enforcers, revenue collectors with weapons, who treat we the people like suspects and criminals. The situation is a result of a decision, or maybe lack thereof, by the U.S. Supreme Court not to accept a case that could have been used to hold police accountable for using force on unarmed individuals who have already surrendered or otherwise complied with police orders. Quote, despite a series of high-profile incidents involving the use of unnecessary and excessive force by police against unarmed individuals, the court declined to narrow the scope of qualified immunity granted to officers who assault nonviolent suspects who have ceased to resist arrest, said the Institute. Its lawyers, joined by those from the Cato Institute, filed a friend of the court brief in Salazar v. Molina, which challenged a lower court ruling that, quote, essentially gives police a green light to punish and harm suspects based solely on their initial nonviolent resistance or flight. That ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals gave immunity to a police officer who tased a nonviolent suspect in the back after he had already laid down to surrender. Yeah, I guess that showed him. And the heck with the Fourth Amendment, the charges were dismissed because of the deputy's immunity. And doesn't that fit today? Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.